The only people that really don't like it, it is so backwards. And most of our older generation, they were born and bred to believe that you have to pay for everything free and clear. The goal is to have no bills. And we have to change their mindset to where, yes, that would be ideal, but you also need money to live on. So at some point in your retirement, you have to actually flip the switch and realize it's more about money coming in every month than it is about having assets to leave. So we have two groups of people, that really need this because they don't have enough monthly income to make their bills. And if we could do away with that house payment, that would happen. And then we have the people that just want to stretch out, like my millionaire guy, just want to stretch out that money to last as long as he can. And he'd rather take it out of his home than take it out of his assets. Financial planners like that plan as well because, you know, they make money by money under management, which means I make a lot more money if I'm a financial advisor. If you have $1 million with me, and if you start withdrawing it every month, that means I'm making less money on you all the time. So that even the financial advisors want that to be left in there.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
It's the question that a lot of people reaching retirement age start asking, do I have enough money saved up for my retirement? And sometimes if we're not asking that question until we've retired or very close to the end of our working life, sometimes it's a bit late to go out there and start accumulating more money for savings. So what are our options? Well, if you are a homeowner, then you do have another option in your back pocket. A lot of us end up on our own in that big house, the empty nest, the kids have left home, and it can be a valuable asset and it can be used in a way that can help top up our income in retirement. And today we will find out how this can work for you. Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today our topic of discussion is how reverse mortgages is a powerful tool for those nearing retirement. And to talk to us about this topic today, I have Debbie Bloyd. And Debbie is a mortgage broker specialist and CEO of DLB Financial Services. Debbie Bloyd has been helping clients over the last 20 years with their investments, mortgages, and insurance needs. Debbie is CEO of DLB Financial Services and helps create wealth and peace of mind for her clients across the country. As a radio host on her show for over a decade, Money Strategies with Debbie, she hands out advice to listeners as well as making the complicated financial news easy to understand. Debbie is focused on her clients' finances and speaks frequently with university students in business classes about money and finance for their soon-to-be small businesses. Her practice includes mortgages, investments, and securities and insurance. A graduate of the University of Texas at Austin, Debbie currently resides in College Station, Texas, with her two teenagers. So welcome to the show, Debbie.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. So you are living down in Texas, that's right.
Yes, ma'am.
And you've been in this business for over 20 years. So you've had a fair bit of experience dealing with all kinds of mortgage and finance.
Yes, and I think finally I'm old enough. I'm 55 now. They're starting to listen to me. You have to be kind of old and wise.
And very happy as well.
Very happy. Yes, ma'am. I decided I'm a helper. We'll just call me a helper. Since I do financial advising as well as mortgages, I get to look at someone's overall look at their retirement planning, kind of a holistic approach at both the nest egg that they've saved up, maybe some of their retirement and pensions, and also the home that they live in. All those things are very important as you age.
That's right. And sometimes we're sitting on quite a big asset in the house that we live in. And as we get older, of course, we end up with an empty nest. So what are people doing with that valuable asset that they're sitting on?
Well, you know, they're starting to cash out of it because they have things pop up that they did not anticipate, but I have been telling them about for a long time. I'm looking at a little piece of paper here that is put out by a retirement association, and it talks about how nearly 60% of Americans worry about having enough money for retirement because they don't know what's going to happen. More than 20 years people spend in working, and then they have to retire. And, you know, as we're retiring now, we're living longer than ever. So when we used to retire at 65, we would, you know, die by 80. Well, now we're living into our 90s. That money has to stretch another 15 years, and people are not prepared for that. The amount of savings a lot of people have in retirement is really close to nothing. You would be surprised and shocked and how many people are just retiring on maybe a small pension. Here in the States, we have Social Security, but that's really not enough to live on. You have to have outside money. One out of every four 64-year-olds are going to live past the age of 90, and they're just not ready for it.
That's right. And it's a shocking statistic, and it's something that the traditional work and being rewarded for being a loyal employee, that traditional bonus that you would normally get at the end of your working career isn't there anymore, is it?
It's not. You know, nearly 50% of people are going to retire sooner than they thought. And these are the reasons listed: disability, companies closing or they're being downsized, or they have to care for a family member. So these are things that no one expects that I talk about all the time. I had a lady last week tell me, she said, "Debbie, I don't want to talk about long-term care and all that stuff anymore. I'm going to die healthy." And that's just not the way it works. Most of us don't pass away peacefully in our sleep. We need some type of hospitalization. And that doesn't even count the people that have Alzheimer's or some type of dementia that are going to need money to keep them in a place to live or someone to care for them for years, not just a couple years, but several years. The projected out-of-pocket expense is over $350,000 per individual over 65. And most people don't have that kind of money to retire on. So we're going to get into a real crunch. Thankfully, a lot of people have purchased long-term care, which helps. But some people have gone ahead and decided that they are going to do something different, and they're going to look at the existing money that they have stored up in their house, as you referred to. So a reverse mortgage has been around for a long time. I've been doing them for the last 15 years here in Texas. They've been in existence before that. About 15 years ago, FHA took over the FHA business for reverses, and they actually have a stronghold on the market. However, a lot of reverse mortgage companies have started making their own proprietary products. So where I used to say you've got to be 62 years of age or older, now a lot of these separate companies have started reverse mortgages at 60. They take out a little bit more money. They don't have private mortgage insurance. There's some nuances. But what I want people to focus on is there's a lot of money left in your home, and you're sitting on this big golden egg. Your choices when you age: you're going to need health care, you're going to need more money to live on. Do you take it out of your retirement, your 401k, your IRAs, or do you take it out of your home? I mean, that's really the only places we have, and we get to keep working. So a lot of people are opting to just keep working. They figure if they work longer, that they're going to have more saved up, but that in theory, they're just working and they spend everything they earn. So they're just postponing that part. What we're finding out that people can take a reverse mortgage on their home and they don't have to take all the money out at once. They can take it out in a line of credit as well. And when they do that, that line of credit grows. It has an interest rate and it grows. So they at least have money accessible. Before the reverse mortgage, the only option that we had with our homes is to refinance it and take the cash out. But then we had to pay for that. So we had to qualify, just like you and I do now, for a home. When you qualify, that means you have to have a job. You have to be able to have all your bills in the right order. You have to have good credit. As people age, they're spending more than what they earn. Their credit sometimes goes down because they're co-signing for kids or grandkids on things, and their credit suffers. Not everybody has great credit as they age.
What's the major reason that they're delving into the reverse mortgages? What are their major needs, are you finding?
That is their biggest nest egg of money. They have maybe suffered an illness. So what normally happens, and I don't know if this is that way in Australia, but here in the States, we've got numbers on who needs medical care first. And it's usually the man. So what happens is the man has a heart attack or a stroke or needs a physical assistance of some kind, and it takes financial assistance to get that. They use quite a bit of the 401k money. When they pass away, a lot of times the women are just left with a lot of debt, their home, and Social Security. So here in the States, when a spouse dies, not all of them have elected to have Social Security benefits that stay after they go. They are taking the most out that they can every month, just like a pension. So unless you get it with survivor's rights, your spouse will not be cared for, and the numbers change. So the women are usually the one that's left after a death. She's got the house, but she can't refinance it because she can't qualify, because she doesn't make enough, because usually all she's left with is the Social Security money. And a lot of times his health has already eaten through the retirement money. So that leaves her with only that nest egg of a house. Now she's able to get a reverse mortgage. She can use that nest egg to pay for her monthly cost, take a lot of money out, and that home will never, ever need a payment on it. She has to keep up the taxes and the insurance, but only to those two things. The house pays for itself. And if she gets to the end of her life and the house is upside down, FHA steps in because she's been paying FHA mortgage insurance this whole time.
Well, that sounds like a great solution for a lot of older women out there. Is there any restriction on about how much you can borrow against your house? How does the reverse mortgage work?
Yes, ma'am. There's a software program that we all use that allows us to put in the borrower's birthday, the borrower's value of their home, and the software calculates through the regulations of FHA how much the borrowers can get out of their home. There has to be enough money in there to keep paying that imaginary house payment. But what it does do is let people have either a lump sum of money that they can do something else with, or take a monthly draw, kind of like a salary every month, if they're not good with money. I've had people take a lump sum of money out of their house, and then they've used it for cash flow. They wanted to buy investment properties, maybe a duplex or an apartment complex. Maybe they just want to invest it in mutual funds of some kind that grow. They want cash flow. So at some point in your adult life, you quit waiting for just the money for the sake of getting a big lump sum of money, and you're looking for cash flow every month. So you're starting to liquidate your assets to give you that monthly cash flow so that you can keep making your car payments, making all those payments that you've been making, and you kind of set yourself up. Ideally, that's not the way it should be. Ideally, we should retire with our house paid for, our cars paid for, no credit card bills. Those three things, that's a lot for people to get over. And some people think that you always have to have a house note or you always have to have a car note. And they're just not the good at money managing. And no one's really helped them do that.
Yeah, I'm intrigued that you said that you're allowed to use that money to reinvest in something else. Is that common?
Some of my people do that, yes. Most people, like I just had a gentleman 2 weeks ago, he actually purchased a brand new home on a reverse mortgage. So there's two kinds of reverse mortgages. One, to get equity out of something that you already own. And the second thing is to do a purchase so that you get to put down a little less than half of what your purchase price is. So he was very well off. He's worked very hard. He's got a lot of money and assets. He sold his $1 million house and he was downsizing to a house that's going to cost $400,000. Well, on a reverse purchase, he could actually put down only $180,000 on that $400,000 house. He saved that other $200,000 that he would have put down because he was going to pay cash for the house. And then he invested that money in mutual funds. So that money is still working for him. He's paid $180,000 for a $400,000 house and he never makes another payment on it. He does pay his taxes and insurance and his homeowners association dues. But now he gets to live out the rest of his life until he wants to sell that house at a fraction of the cost, and he saved all that money.
Wow. Well, that's an interesting way to do it. I haven't heard of it before. It sounds like there are more options out there for retirees than I'd previously thought.
Well, you know, the downside for reverse mortgages that people talk about most is that the bank will own your home. And that's no more so true than the mortgage company that I have, like say Wells Fargo, and I own my house now. There's always a lender involved, but they do not own your home. They don't want to own your home. If you don't make your taxes and insurance payment, you will be foreclosed upon. Just like if I didn't make my house payment to Wells Fargo, they would do the same thing to me. So it's not just a matter of that. It's also a way for people to actually defer that money and use it for other things.
It's fascinating. Is this becoming more common? Have you seen a big growth in this area, this tool to help those nearing retirement?
Well, yes, ma'am. Because people want to make more out of their money, this is getting, because it's got a line of credit inside the vehicle, the investment, a lot of financial planners and CPAs are now seeing this as a viable option rather than taking money out of an IRA or a 401k. You know, their job is to protect your assets, but if you keep spending down your assets, you're not going to have any left. What a reverse mortgage is allowing people to do now is take money out of their home, keep staying in your home, and not draw down so fast on your IRAs or 401ks. For other people, I had another lady last month that refinanced. She had a $200,000 home. She's 70 years old, and she's still got a part-time job. Her only income is Social Security, and it's not enough to pay all her bills. So she got a part-time job. Now that we did the reverse mortgage on her home, she gets to keep all that money from her part-time job as extra money to live on, and it did away with her mortgage payment. So she had enough equity where she doesn't have to pay now anymore. That saves her about $600 a month. It's on a very basic $150,000 house. She's not living in a mansion. She's not spending it all in Vegas. She's actually just living, paying her Medicare, her supplements, going to the grocery store, taking care of her home. That's all she does. Now she works part-time, but she's not under that constant stress of not having enough.
Mm-hmm. And when you get the money out, is it in a lump sum in that, is there a danger that someone could just go and blow that lump sum?
Yes, it is. And that's why we have an option to make payments to you like a monthly payment, or you can take it as a lump sum. A lot of people want to see that money and then they'll invest it. But some of my people, they're not so good with money. That's kind of how they got into this situation. It's better to get a monthly salary and keep that going. So it's just, it depends on if they can handle the money or not. I see more people taking monthly money out than a lump sum.
And how does the next generation feel about these reverse mortgages?
Well, that's where it comes into play tough sometimes. A lot of children, adult children in their 50s or 40s or 60s, feel that that house that mom and dad are living in is theirs and they want it. And they want it free and clear. They don't want to lean on it. Now, the families are allowed to buy that house at 95% of the value of whatever the value is when the parents pass away or decide to sell the home if they want to keep it in the family. But most of my, I guess, more well-off families, they don't want their kids to have the house. Their kids don't need the house. The kids are doing better than they are. And I think 9 times out of 10, the family members don't want the house. They want the money that's in the house. So it's not like they're going to move there. There's only been a couple situations in all the years I've done these where the children were maybe disabled and that needed a place to live. And we decided not to do the reverse because I didn't want them to have to get out of that house for any reason. And with a reverse, a year after the last person dies, the estate has to sell the house and settle up the lien, or they have to sell it to someone in the family, but they do have to get rid of that mortgage. So you have a year to clear up all of the estate stuff. But most children, most adult children, they don't want to live in that house per se. They just want the money that that house stands for.
Yep. Okay. And I assume there's a restriction on how much you're allowed to take out in a reverse mortgage, the percentage of the value of the property.
Yes, ma'am. They do it based on both of the borrowers or the borrower's birthday. So there's a software system that calculates all that. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
And typically, what age are people when they come to you that this is being suggested? Is there any age? Do you have any older, really old people coming in?
We do, yes. I mean, we've got some people in their 80s. And so this is a loan, like so many of the other loans, that cannot be discriminated against. There are minimums to the age. Like I said, some of the regular FHA loans are 62, but other private companies do their reverses at the age of 60. But there is no age that you can max out at. So if you're 90, I had a gentleman that was 90 do a reverse mortgage. And all that did was free up all that money while he was still alive. He was able to take his kids and his grandkids on some cruises and do some fun things because all he had left was that house. It was worth about $600,000. And once we freed up at least half of that equity, he was able to spend some of that money on his family while he was alive. Otherwise, he's sitting there in his big house all day long, not being able to do anything because he's cash poor and property rich.
Sounds very logical to me.
It is. The only people that really don't like it, it is so backwards. And most of our older generation, they were born and bred to believe that you have to pay for everything free and clear. The goal is to have no bills. And we have to change their mindset to where, yes, that would be ideal, but you also need money to live on. So at some point in your retirement, you have to actually flip the switch and realize it's more about money coming in every month than it is about having assets to leave. So we have two groups of people, that really need this because they don't have enough monthly income to make their bills. And if we could do away with that house payment, that would happen. And then we have the people that just want to stretch out, like my millionaire guy, just want to stretch out that money to last as long as he can. And he'd rather take it out of his home than take it out of his assets. Financial planners like that plan as well because, you know, they make money by money under management, which means I make a lot more money if I'm a financial advisor. If you have $1 million with me, and if you start withdrawing it every month, that means I'm making less money on you all the time. So that even the financial advisors want that to be left in there.
All right. Well, it sounds like it's a terrific alternative and a powerful tool for those that are looking at retirement as a way to supplement their retirement income. So how do people find you? And are you just a local specialist or have you been helping people in all sorts of places?
I've been helping people in all sorts of places. I'm licensed in Texas, Arizona, Florida, and California. It's easy to get licensed in other states if the need be, but I can refer it to people there as well that do reverse mortgages. The packet is the same for every state. Every state's got a couple little nuances, but we do the information the same way in every state. It's a great way to stretch their money in retirement. They can call me directly. I'll give you my phone number. It's 979-220-3018. Or they can go to my website, moneystrategieswithdebbie.com. They can contact me there.
And I believe you have your own radio show.
I do. I've been doing a radio show locally where I live from, I guess, maybe 11 years now. they can log on to 1620wtaw.com and hear me every Sunday. We talk about investments, insurance, long-term care, mortgages, mortgage rates, really anything, real estate, anything that has to do about your money.
Well, it sounds like it's very, very helpful and you're providing a great service.
I do what I can. I try to help them look through all the proposals and find out what's best for them, compare costs on long-term care and see if they can. A lot of people, you know, they buy insurance when they're younger. They don't need that kind of insurance as they age. They need something else. So we do a lot of comparison and shopping for them to make sure they're spending their money in the right way.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much for being part of the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. We have been listening to Debbie Bloyd, and Debbie is a mortgage broker specialist, and she is the CEO of DLB Financial Services. Thanks for chatting to us today, Debbie.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.